This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Queen of Freedom Monument, this station presents a special public affairs program.
Well, this should prove very interesting.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
There's a car for everyone here at World Car. I see Bobon has found the roomy 8-passenger Nissan Armada.
This sound system is awesome.
Okay, Bobon.
What?
No, I can't really say the name of the band. But you can imagine. Think of your chest, and then there's this column, T-Twister. That's the name of the band.
Got nothing.
T-Twister, but what's on your chest? What do you call that up there?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Is Don on the phone?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Go home to mommy.
And now.
This is a huge release. Everyone's talking about it. You could find it. All the media is talking about it. There's the hype. The hype. Everyone's hyping it up. It's going crazy here. You could see the line already wrapped around the building. It's going nuts.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday morning, the 12th of October.
Starting the day with a little Motorhead, man. That really, that gets us going.
It's a way to do it.
Hey, party people.
Hey, Beam.
Jensen, I laughed out loud at your tweet yesterday.
What was that?
Your welcome me to the Kevin and Bean Show tweet?
Oh, yes. Everything's becoming a blur when you wake up at 4:30 for the first time.
Jensen had to find an analogy to describe how excited he was to be joining the show that he presumably has been a fan of for a long time.
Right? Long time, yeah.
And there's... I don't know. There's thousands of different ways he could have put it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Could have told me he's a wrestling fan. He could have talked about how his dream, it was like his dream of getting in the ring with his favorite wrestler that he'd been admiring over the years.
Coming off the top rope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Favorite sports team, being in a, I don't know. There's a lot of different ways he could have done it.
You know, I even could have went to Journey. How Journey got a new, or Sublime in Rome. Many options I could have went with.
What's the one you chose, Jensen?
Well, I compared it to the crappy Mark Wahlberg movie where he is in a cover band that ends up joining the real band.
And what did I point out to you about that analogy?
That my friends Kevin and Bean are in that crappy film.
Did you know that?
I knew there were radio DJs in it.
Yes.
Do I remember it was you guys? No.
Now, can we have crazy long wigs and everything else?
You were doing a bit.
Sort of, yeah. I mean, we were just asking questions.
Yeah.
And then we said, they said, hey, just ad-lib. We want you guys to be funny. We ad-lib for a half hour, and then they didn't use any of it.
Yeah.
But we just looked terrible. But you didn't. Did you remember? You didn't remember we were in that movie when you made that analogy.
No, I mean, it would be amazing if I lied and said yes right
That's
now.
That's awesome.
Looked like a comedic genius. But no, I forgot you were in the film.
That's sweet.
Uh-huh. But do feel like I'm in that movie still. would I have said crappy?
It was called Kevin Amin's Rockstar, for folks who don't remember.
It was called Rockstar.
Kevin Amin's Rockstar, right. And I think Jennifer Aniston was on the call sheet right below us, if I recall correctly. Right,
way above us.
And it was not a great movie. I agree with that. But I just thought it was hilarious on your first official day at work that you basically said, boy, am I working for a couple of idiots.
You know, looking back, probably not my first tweet that I want to put out. But you know what? No regrets moving forward. If I had a dump button for my Twitter, may have used it.
Oh, do
all
I
of
need,
us, right? I need that, man.
I'll tell you.
All right. Do we have time for the thing?
Sure.
I'll try to make this real fast. I know we're going to be talking to our friend Matt Money Smith about the Doyers and the Milwaukee Brewers series starting off tonight. But I thought this was fun. The Milwaukee Brewers, who, by the way, started out as a minor league team in the 1940s, and then they were replaced by the Boston Braves, and they were in town for about 15 years before they moved to Atlanta. And then they were replaced by the Seattle Pilots, who became the Milwaukee Brewers in 1970.
I hope this is going somewhere.
It is. Okay. In the long history of a franchise in that city, a local restaurant chain called George Webb, named after its founder, has had a promotion going since the 1940s. Where they promise everyone free hamburgers if the Brewers win 12 games in a row.
Is that unheard of?
It's not unheard of, but that's a long streak.
That's a super long streak.
It's exceptional.
It's it's fairly common to have an 8-game winning streak, a 9-game winning streak. You don't often see double digits. And by the way, this is what's the Lakers has a promotion with the tacos if they score a certain amount of points,
I think it's
or something
over 100 and win the game.
Right. So since the 40s, they've had this promotion going on.
They probably forgot about it by now.
Oh, no. It's very much on the citizens of Milwaukee's mind.
Citizens, yeah.
One time it has happened in 1987 it happened. The Milwaukee Brewers won the first 12 games of the series, a season rather, and George Webb Restaurants handed out close to 170,000 hamburgers for free to celebrate. 170,000! Someone on the scene says, I just remember there were lines of people waiting. Some locations, police were there guiding traffic. The mood was amazing. Some lines were an hour long to get a hamburger, but people came and they waited. It meant more than just getting a free burger. People were wrapped up in the excitement of the team, right? Well, the reason I bring all this up is to say, look, we want the Dodgers to win tonight. But if the Brewers do win...
You go to hell.
If they
you
do...
You go to hell right now.
I just said we want the Dodgers to win.
You go to hell because what you're about to say is going to be a jinx, and it's on you, Mr. Bean Baxter.
And there is nothing worse than a meat jinx.
Right?
I've said it for years.
And I'll stand right now and tell you something. If they do win, and they give out burgers...
You're going to Milwaukee?
No, it's going to be infected with E. coli.
Oh, nice.
So even if they win, they're going to lose.
Stop saying if they win.
No, they're not going to win, but I'm saying even a win is a loss because they're going to be sick to their stomachs.
If they do win...
You go to hell, you son of a bitch.
It will be the 12th game, which would be very exciting. So they
exciting?
Define very
for
exciting.
For people in Wisconsin who want a free hamburger.
It's a burger.
$2 burger.
Dude, free food wins every time.
But
here's what I'm saying.
You said it's very exciting. We're just saying...
It is. To get a free food? Yes. They have won every game since September 23rd, by the way, when they beat Pittsburgh. They even had to win that one game play. Play in at game 163 against the Cubs to decide the winner of the NL Central. They are on a streak of 11
Bean?
In a row. Yeah.
Out of curiosity, how much longer are you going to talk about the Brewers winning?
It's a great question.
Are we syndicated?
God, you're a dick.
Are we syndicated in Milwaukee?
What's
I'm missing
happening?
Something.
What happened?
I said we don't
asshole.
Want them to. I said we don't want them to win.
But if they do,
it's very exciting.
That is exciting. What you said. If they do, it's very exciting.
If they do, it'll be 12 in a row, and it's free hamburgers for everybody. They're
Don't
on.
You shut your pie hole.
The restaurant is ready to order an extra 200,000 hamburger buns and 40,000 pounds of ground beef, and they'll do the giveaway next week.
Nothing's going to happen. I can't believe you. Don't shut up.
But if it did, it's free hamburgers.
Yeah, shut up, dude.
This man.
Right?
Jensen's not looking so bad now.
Can we talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show now? Or
sure.
We're going to continue to filibuster. Matt Money Smith talking Dodgers. Call of Duty Black Ops 4 is out. We're going to give away a bunch of those today. Don't touch kids is the name of a feature on today's show.
I think that's great advice.
When we named that, we quickly said that's a bad idea, and then it ended up on the air.
Yep, of course. Mm-hmm. Keep it 100 because it's Friday.
Mm-hmm. And Come on, crash test dummies.
And we've got the D today.
Oh,
Tenacious D.
Mm-hmm. So, you guys watched their web series?
Did.
Mm-hmm. It's phenomenal, right?
They're the best.
I mean, it's not great artwork.
You're going to tell Jack Black that?
Yes.
He drew it.
He drew it.
I know. I can't wait.
Okay.
Because he has to know it's terrible.
I love it.
Okay. I didn't say I didn't love it. It's terrible.
I love the artwork.
Okay. And that's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next.
The Kevin and Bean Show. The world famous K-Rock.
It's Friday, you guys.
Friday.
And Allie is here with our first look at what's happening.
Well, here is something nobody saw coming. And this is Told to the Rap.
Okay.
An individual with knowledge of the deal told the Rap that Ryan Coogler...
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
That Ryan Coogler will officially write and direct the Black Panther sequel for Marvel. Who saw that coming? What a scoop.
I know, because the first one was not a hit at all.
No. Gosh. Do you have any idea what that wound up grossing?
I don't.
10 million? 11?
I'll say 8 million.
Eight?
I'll do a dollar.
Dollar.
One okay. Oh, yeah.
Well, I was going for
that. Oh, you're doing the Price is Right
tendies,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
How about $1.3 billion worldwide? Yeah.
And deserved it. Yeah.
$1.3 billion, you guys. And yep. It's up for a Best Picture nomination at the Academy Awards. No bigs. So, yeah, that's kind of exciting. We all knew it was going to happen anyway, but it's nice that an individual with knowledge of the deal told that to the Rap. I like it. I like it a lot.
I don't think they've come out with the Oscar nominations yet, have they?
Are you psychic?
Well, it says it's going to be up for a Best Picture, so I just said it's up for a Best All Picture, because right. mm-hmm. it will be.
It's going to be up for a Best Picture.
It should be. It mm-hmm. certainly should be, yeah.
Yeah.
She can tell the future, you guys.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Are they getting burgers in Milwaukee?
They are not.
Good.
Absolutely not.
Good to hear.
And if they do, no. Have you guys heard about Hulu ordering a new drama series about the early days of Wu-Tang Clan?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, Wu-Tang, not Biggie.
Oh, right.
Hulu is giving a 10-episode straight-to-series order to a scripted drama about the rise of the Wu-Tang Clan.
Bong, bong.
The show Wu-Tang, An American Saga, is based on the true story of the group. Here's how they describe it. Set in early 90s New York at the height of the crack cocaine epidemic, the story tracks the Klan's formation as a vision of Bobby Diggs, a.k.a. the RZA, who strives to unite a dozen young Black men that are torn between music and crime. But eventually, they rise to become the unlikely American success story.
Bong, bong.
I'm in.
I'm very much in.
Right? Yeah, sounds cool. I don't love that they're like the story tracks the Klan's formation. Because it just, it confuses
Bad wording?
People.
Yeah, sure.
It just confuses
they're taking
people.
It back.
Take it back. Hulu, congratulations on that. And not sure if you guys remember... The Fire Festival mm-hmm. promised attendees that VIP experience in the Bahamas, but they got huts that weren't done, cheese sandwiches, no bathrooms, just a real bad situation.
They were underprepared for a crowd.
Really underprepared. Well, the founder, Billy McFarland, the 26-year-old that left hundreds stranded in the Bahamas last year, has been sentenced to 6 years in prison and ordered to forfeit $26 million.
Chill.
So that's not what he wanted.
No.
But...
There was a guy like a couple months ago who ran a merchandising factory.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the guy who was put in charge of Fyre Festival merchandise.
Ooh.
And a couple months ago, he ran a pop-up in New York and just sold all of the merchandise.
Just got rid of it all?
Yeah, and it was pretty expensive. It was like $50 a shirt, $80.
Wow.
I was like, man, having a Fyre Festival shirt, though, would be pretty cool.
Sold it out. That's awesome.
Yeah, pretty cool.
That guy's a genius. I would have... Yeah. run for safety someplace.
He said he got stiffed. The dude was like, I made all this merchandise and I got stiffed, gotcha. So let's sell it in a random store.
Gotcha. Yeah, a bunch of the investors testified and they were like, I gave my life's money, everything I saved up for, to invest in this. And this guy screwed me so bad. So.
In a Ja Rule music festival. You deserve it, sir. Mm-hmm.
But Blink 182, they were boarding a plane to go, and they're like, wait, this isn't real? Turn it around. Luckily, it was on the runway. I don't know if any of that happened. I don't know even if they were at the airport. But let's pretend it did. Hey, Fleetwood Mac and Lindsey Buckingham, that's a chill relationship.
Take it to people's court, I say.
Good God. Well, it's going to court. Lawsuit filed this week in L.A. County Superior Court says that Lindsey Buckingham was kicked out of the band, and that cost him at least $12 million in tour proceeds. Here's the story. He had asked the other members of Fleetwood Mac, hey, can you delay the Fleetwood Mac tour? I've got this solo stuff coming out. And the band was like, yeah, no. And then now he's saying, so I agreed. And I was like, all right, then let's go. And then all of a sudden they left without me. Womp, womp. Come on.
What?
Lindsey.
And they fired him over the phone, apparently.
Well, yeah,
according to Lindsey Buckingham, anyway, right?
You've been with the band for 33 years. You would think there would be some sort of conversation, but I have a feeling.
At least a text, right?
Right, a post-it on a window, something. Don't you think a lot more is going on with Lindsey Buckingham and the rest of Fleetwood Mac?
I do. Absolutely. I mean, obviously, it's a troubled relationship. And,
right.
And he says that he got a phone call and he was told Stevie Nicks never wants to be on stage with you again as long as she lives. That was the message how he was fired. Hmm.
And then he said,
bong, bong.
Which was a weird response from him. But.
And of course, you know, they're the ones who had the relationship all those years ago that has fueled many of Fleetwood Mac's best songs. The fact that they've been able to work together this long is shocking to me.
My favorite thing ever, if you just Google the song Silver Springs Live, seeing them perform this song, and it's all about him having a new relationship, but how he'll never forget her. And she's singing right to him, and he's just playing the guitar back all aggressive right at her. It is the most sexual, ridiculous thing you've ever seen, and I dig it. Silver Springs, check it out.
Yeah, and she rolls her eyes when he's playing Go Your Own Way about her, too, by the way. Wow. So there's a lot of drama being played out on stage of that band.
Well, it looks like the whole band went their own way, and Lindsey wasn't invited. Suck it!
Hi-o!
You don't mess with my Stevie. I've said it for years. You guys know that.
No, I don't.
I have that t-shirt. Some birthdays for you. Kirk Cameron.
Oh, the best. His birthday.
Right?
Do you know that picture?
No.
Oh, if you Google Kirk Cameron birthday party, it's from a couple of years ago. It's at his place of work now, whatever that is, probably a church. It's just him and a couple Subway sandwiches and two people, and he's blowing out candles, and it's the saddest thing you'll ever see.
That's
if you look up, I'm telling you, spend your day 2 seconds, Kirk Cameron birthday party. It's just him and a couple Subway sandwiches, blowing out candles, two people behind him who look completely disinterested.
Were they footlongs at least? Or?
With Kirk Cameron, I doubt it. But let me show you. Go ahead. I'll show you this picture.
I'm looking at it, and it's not much of a party.
You know how, like, when you work at an office and someone's like, hey, it's so-and-so's birthday. See you in the conference room, and then no one shows up. It looks like that.
Mm.
It's just Kirk Cameron alone.
Oh, and who's the sad person around the door? Like, I don't even want to come in.
Someone forced to see it.
Doesn't even know him.
Well, now
That's sad. You
managed to make me sad for Kirk Cameron.
No, don't be.
Nope.
Well, I'm happy for Hugh Jackman because, good God, he's talented. And it's his birthday and Josh Hutcherson. And that's what's happening.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Hey, you guys.
It's fine. Beer Mug was invited. He's
Beer Mug came in the studio, and he's standing in front of a microphone.
Turn on his microphone. Okay. It's time to play Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Penis slapped.
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Bean Makes Us Guess.
Yes.
I specifically requested Omar replace some of those sound bites.
No, he redid it, and it's all new.
It sounds exactly the same to me.
He took out some stuff that seemed like you didn't like it.
Inappropriate.
Yeah.
Billboard magazine is the Bible of the music industry and has been for over 100 years, and they have a very special issue out this week because they are celebrating the 30th anniversary of the Alternative Music Chart. So until 30 years ago, which would be what, 1988, they didn't have a special alternative music chart. But then it started to get so popular, they said, hey, we ought to start ranking these records on their own. Well, they put out a list of the 40 biggest alternative music acts of all time. So this is right in K-Rock's wheelhouse. We've played every single one of these bands. The most successful on the charts, according to Billboard, alternative music acts of all time. Everybody got it?
Yes. Yep.
Yes.
I think it's going to be an easy one, you guys, because a million bands automatically come to mind because of all the stuff that we play and Kevin, as we do.
Now, do we have to give artist and song?
No, this is just our alternative artists.
Okay.
Yeah, the most successful on the Billboard charts, alternative artists. All right. Say you.
Yes,
Allie. Can I ask a question? Mm-hmm. What do they quantify or qualify as alternative? Like, would Nickelback be alternative?
Well, Bean says we've played them all.
We've played them all.
We've played them all.
I got the top 40 in front of me, and we played every one of them.
Okay.
Okay.
So I would say no to Nickelback.
So, Allie,
okay.
That's wrong.
Okay. Well, no,
that. Oh, that we weren't just, starting yeah. yet. Okay. I'm going to start with Baha Men.
Come on, Kevin. You know what? Maybe just outside the
41.
It's possible they were 41, but the Who Let the Dogs Out guys didn't make the top. We're trying to at least nail the top 10 in the time that we have for this segment. All right, Allie, you're up next.
Obviously, Nirvana.
Well, it's funny you should say that.
What?
Because we're talking chart success, and they had one posthumous release since 1995. So they just haven't been around that long. They had a very short run on the charts with a lot of songs in a 5-year period.
Right. Wow, that was shocking. I thought that would be number one easy.
Well, again, we're not talking about the greatest or the standard bearers or the Mount Rushmore of. We're talking about chart success. So think about bands that had a longer chart run, perhaps, than Nirvana. Beer Mug, you're up.
K-Rock has played these guys like once in a while. Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Well, they are number two on there.
There you go.
Yeah, the Chili Peppers. So Beer Mug on the board first. K-Rock's Kevin, you're up next.
P.O.D.
Wouldn't you have been shocked if they had been on the list?
That would have been great.
That would have been. I'm sorry. No no POD. Okay. Alan Kay.
Foo Fighters.
Number one, of All course. Right. Foo Fighters. Most successful alternative rock band of the last 30 years. Mugs, you're up.
Gotta go the Weezer.
Weezer is number nine.
All right.
I mean, think about how many songs they've had.
Yeah,
I mean,
a thousand.
They just keep them coming. All right, Kevin, you're up next.
I'm going to say Hinder.
I'm sorry, no.
Come on! This bogus. This list is bogus.
I know you're trying. All right, Allie?
Muse.
Muse is number 13.
How dare you?
Number 13 is Muse. Beer Mug.
The Killers.
The Killers is a great guess. I thought they would be higher, too, but they're down at number 34.
34.
Now, again, this is not opinion. This is based on chart statistics.
Okay.
This is how well they've actually done.
All right, facts.
Right. So do we have time to go around a couple more times real fast?
Sure.
All right, Kevin?
Plain White Mother effing Tees.
Oh, man. I appreciate your confidence, but I'm sorry. The Hey Delilah kids did not make the list. All right, Allie?
Oasis?
Oasis is on the list at number 37.
Wow. So have we gotten only one and two?
Mugs has gotten two.
No,
I've
I'm saying
one.
Number one and two on the list.
Yeah, you got
that's
one.
That's all we've got.
One, two, and nine.
One, two, nine. Okay.
Okay.
Is all you got. All right, whose turn is it?
My turn. Beck.
That's a great guess, by the way, but I'm sorry. No, he's number 30.
No.
Excuse me, 31.
I have that on my 31. List, by the way.
Did you really?
No.
All right, last round, and then I will reveal.
Wait, is Allie go or no?
I'm confused. Kevin's up first.
Kevin's right. up next.
Yeah. Five for fighting.
At least you try it.
Right.
Allie, your final guess.
Okay, now I guess I'm finally getting it, that these are now like longest on the chart type of thing.
You're just getting this now?
Because I was going with band, yes. Yeah, okay. I'm just getting it. The flying like a cannonball. Da, 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 da. First. They sing first.
That's,
that
I mean,
was on
Cold
the charts
War
forever.
Cold War Kids?
Kids.
Okay, again,
but they
that
haven't
was
been
a,
around.
Yeah.
For.
Yeah, that was a huge hit.
Cold War Kids loves Incubus, is what I was saying. Incubus.
Well, I'm sorry, Cold War Kids was the answer we accept. Beer Mug, you have the final guess.
Stone Temple Pilots.
That's a good guess.
It is number 18 on the list. All right, I'll give you the top 20 real quick. There were a couple that will surprise you because they will. Number 20 on the list, by the way, ahead of Nirvana, ahead of Coldplay, ahead of Depeche Mode, ahead of Nine Inch Nails, ahead of The Killers. Number 20 is 3 Days Grace.
What? Okay.
That is not possible.
Number 19 is...
Hold on, you're making that up.
This is Billboard Magazine. Number 19 is Stained. Number 18 is Stone Temple Pilots, which I think someone guessed. Number 17 is The Cure. Here's a band I'm surprised you didn't mention, Imagine Dragons. They haven't been around that long, but man, have they had a lot of hits. Cage the Elephant at 15, Blink 182 at 14.
Blink 182, how stupid are we?
Then Muse, then Smashing Pumpkins, then Bush. Number 10, Offspring. Number 9, Weezer. Number 8, Incubus. Allie, you almost had it.
Damn it!
Number 6 and 7, I'm kind of surprised because, Kevin, for the first 20 years we worked here, we played a million songs by Pearl Jam.
Wow. Oh, sure.
And R.E.M.
That's ridiculous.
Number 5, U2.
Oops.
They've only had a 60-year career.
Number 4, again, we're talking about the most popular acts, the most successful acts in the Billboard Alternative Music Chart. Number 4, Linkin Park.
Of course.
Is Green Day not on?
Number 3 is Green Day.
Oh, should be, yeah.
All right.
Then the Chili Peppers, and then Foo Fighters. And this has been
B-Mix's
Guess.
B-Mix's Guess, yeah.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Dodgers Brewers tonight, game one of the National League Championship Series. First pitch, 5:09. Here's some fun facts about Milwaukee, if you remember the film Wayne's World.
Don't do it.
No, sir.
What?
No, sir.
We're sick of your Milwaukee facts.
No, sir. From Wayne's World, though.
Don't care.
Remember the great Alice Cooper.
Don't care.
Why are you obsessed with talking about Milwaukee?
I believe the Dodgers are playing the Brewers.
Right. Let's talk about the Dodgers.
Well, we're going to do that with
Matt. Let's do that now.
God, Bean.
Holy crap.
Honestly, he's like the Mama Mugs of the show.
Right?
You see what I go through, Matt? You see how white people do?
I'll tell you what, Bean, it's interesting because you were about to play that clip from Alice Cooper where he pronounces Milwaukee, Milwaukee, the beautiful
earth. It's
so
funny, right.
But because there is such tremendous American tradition in Milwaukee, if you use the Menominee language, it is not translated into the beautiful earth. And if you believe this to be a precursor for bad things to happen,
are we losing Matt?
We're losing what? Is it a phone connection?
Yeah, I think it's the connection.
His phone is fine.
No.
Let the man talk.
I'm just saying, guys.
Yeah, say less.
We got off on a bad start today because I brought up the free burger promotion in Wisconsin if the Brewers win 12 in a row. I'm sure you've talked about it on Petros and Money, and these guys have been doing yelling at me ever since.
Have you talked about that?
We have not, but okay. We have mentioned that they're giving out free Miller Lite today for 2 hours, pretty cool.
And B, Bean said, if they won, because of the hamburger thing, it would be, quote, very exciting.
For the people in Wisconsin to get free beef.
So that's how the day started. So now let's talk some Dodgers. How about that?
Okay. Let's do that. You're ready to talk baseball, Kevin.
Look at me.
We're ready.
Wow.
What a weird day.
What a world this is.
All right. I'm going to confess, Matt Money Smith, co-host of the Petros Money Radio Show on AM 570, your Dodger station. I'm going to confess that I have not paid as close attention to the Milwaukee Brewers as I should this year, but I understand that they do something very interesting with their pitching in that they don't really have an ace. They just throw a bunch of pitchers at you every night, and you never know who you're going to get.
It sounds kind of like something you would do at a frat house, but the term is bullpenning.
Okay.
And the idea is that they don't have...
Judge Kavanaugh was all about that.
Exactly right. Hey, man, we're just going to keep bringing in, but instead of, they just bring in arms. It's like one arm after another. Here they come at you fast and furious. Yeah, they don't have a Clayton Kershaw. They don't have an ace, so... Their idea is we're going to bring this guy out to start a game, and he may be out there for an inning. He may be out there for two, but because we feel like we've got 7 or 8 guys that can go back-to-back days, or in the case of the NLCS, 5 games in 6 days, that's probably the more efficient way to try to win a game.
Does that give the edge to either team?
They have the best bullpen in baseball, so I think it's more out of necessity, and just based on what their roster looks like than something they would prefer to do. Now, does it give them an edge? Well, you know, because now it's turned into such a specialist game, and these games take forever because there's a pitcher coming in the middle of every inning, it seems like.
Yeah.
It doesn't allow, you know, most of these guys in baseball now can't hit both lefties and righties. So, and the Dodgers do a ton of platooning, which is, you know, they'll play a certain set of guys against right-handers, a certain set against left-handers, and now you can't do that because you may start a guy who's really good against lefties, because that's who's starting the game tonight. Gio Gonzalez, a lefty, and he'll be gone the next inning. And by the time the guy comes up the second time, and rosters just aren't that deep, where you can keep swapping guys out, so, okay, this guy hits righties well, this guy hits lefties well, you end up getting stuck. But typically what happens is, guys in the bullpen are there for a reason. There's a reason why they're not pitching six or seven innings every game and not making all that money, because they're not good enough to go right through a lineup multiple times. So,
but they even, in the last series, did I hear correctly, didn't the Brewers pull out a pitcher who was throwing a no-hitter in the fifth inning? They pulled him.
Yes. They pulled him because, and again, here is where...
You can't wait around, you guys. You got to make moves.
You guys ought to embrace Bean and his dorkiness, because
please,
it has taken over baseball. The nerds have won. The geeks have won. they say that you can't face a lineup a third time through, that's when a hit. Even no matter how dominant you are, the third time through a lineup, the hitters are going to get you because they've seen you too many times and they know what's coming.
I think I would be more comfortable with a Clayton Kershaw going eight innings like he did the other day against the Braves. You know, that makes me feel better.
Yeah, I think it's weird. It really is kind of weird. Having seen so many games, we're out of Dodger Stadium so often and we watch so many games, it's odd what's happened to baseball, that you don't have the Kershaws and the Max Scherzers and the Justin Verlanders as much as you used to. Mm-hmm. You get to know these bullpen guys a lot more than you ever would. Before it was like, yeah, whatever, here comes the crap for a couple innings till we
right
get to our closer.
The
hopefully
scrubs,
we can
right
put a Band-Aid on this, but that's just not the case anymore.
All right, let's talk offense for a second, because the Dodgers are a home run team. By the way, did they hit more home runs than any other club this year, Matt?
Far and away.
Okay. Are the Brewers up there in that category as well?
Brewers have a couple local guys, actually, that grew up here, that went to high school here.
Yeah,
and one
Wesley
of them, Christian
Kahn, right?
Yelich, very well could have won the Triple Crown. He'll end up being your MVP. He's really good. I think Christian went to Westlake. Ryan Braun went to, I want to say, Granada Hills. And they got somebody else who went to Chatsworth. So a bunch of California kids that are really, really good hitters. And
that Westlake
right
High churning out big leaguers, right?
Stay on target.
Mike Lieberthal.
What's
and
happening?
This guy.
Exactly right. That's exactly right, Allie.
What's happening?
Thank you, Matt Money Smith. Thank you.
Let's celebrate the kids.
805 till I'm done.
What's happening? I can't get you guys to focus on the goddamn Dodgers.
We're talking.
In a break, we're supposed to talk about
Mike
the Dodgers.
Mike played for the Dodgers at the end of his career.
He didn't ask you what school they all went to, Money.
I'm just saying.
Some
people here in Southern California listening, and if they are, Ryan Braun's a goddamn cheat.
I'm out.
All right, you hear me? He's holding Matt Kemp's MVP from a few years ago, and he accused a poor Italian man of anti-Semitic behavior and tainting his urine.
Kevin just left the room.
He feels like
we are not on target
he's
here.
He's too frustrated.
I apologize.
By the way, is this true, Matt, that the Brewers are owned by a Southern California resident as well?
I don't care. That's my tipping point, Bean. We've now
hit
it. The ownership, we've now hit it.
Okay. All right. So game one.
Look, the Dodgers lineup is better. It is potent. It is terrifying for opposing pitchers.
Yes.
It never relents. So if you're looking for that whole, hey, what's your prediction? How many games and who wins? The Dodgers are the better team.
Well, the experts all of the experts that I've seen are calling the Dodgers, many in five. So I feel pretty good going into this series. But what do they say? Every sports cliche is somehow true. That's why they play the games, right?
Yes, the games
exactly
are not played on paper. And remember, if you are, we'll be out there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Come see us. Give us a high five. Buy us a beer in left field just on top of the Dodgers bullpen. We'll be broadcasting live. And if it does go to a game five, get the old Kevin and Bean virus in you. Just call the office and say stomach problems, because that's a 2 o'clock start.
Okay, that's great advice. Game one is going to be heard on AM 570 this afternoon, starting at 5:09. Go Dodgers. Matt, thank you so much for coming on. We'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Miliwake.
No, Doyers.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
We have a giveaway, and I'm going to let my man Bean tell you about it.
Well, I think you handled it fine, Kevin. Today, Friday, October 8th.
Yay.
October the 12th is the release of the long anticipated new Call of Duty game, Black Ops 4, by the way, which you can play multiplayer. It's got a zombies mode. It's got a blackout mode. People are raving about this, and it's going to be your choice of PS4 or Xbox One. The game that we have come up with for this one that you're on the phone ready to play is called Celebrity Valor.
Are you pieces of ready to win Call of Duty Black Ops 4?
Yes, sir.
Sound off like you got a pair.
No,
all you have to do is identify which celebrity was in the military. Are we clear on that?
Yes,
I said, are we clear on that?
Yes,
if you get the answer right, you'll hear this. If you get it wrong, you hear this. It's time for Celebrity Valor. Get some. Get some.
That is awfully aggressive for just a game giveaway. All right. Jensen is hosting this time around. Callers are ready to go. Explain again briefly what we're looking for.
Very
here.
Easy. I'm going to say a celebrity name. You tell me if at any point in their careers or their lives they served in the military at all, in armed forces.
We tried this yesterday and we were 50-50 at best.
Yeah,
it's like, tough. Tough to guess.
Very easy examples for you. Elvis did. We know he was in the service. Stephen Hawking did not.
Okay. All right.
That's just easy examples. The first one, you ready or we take
shall
it?
We start?
Yeah, all we right. Talk to our caller first.
No need.
We'll just guess if they would have got it right or not.
Yeah.
Jason in La Puente, hi.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good. Most of us. All right, Jensen is going to run a name by you. You tell us if they served in the military.
This is a good one. Did Shaggy at all in his career join the armed forces?
No.
Oh, you're wrong. Oh.
You're wrong. Shaggy did. He was in the U.S. Marine Corps in 1988 and served in the Persian Gulf War.
Yeah.
It was him.
Yeah.
All right, so Jason is dead then, right?
Correct.
Yeah, okay,
sorry,
that's very sad. He didn't win the game and he's dead.
All right.
Gio in Tahunga, hi.
Hi.
Hey, Gio. Here's a good one. WWE superstar John Cena, was he in the armed forces at any point?
No.
He was not. He was not. Small.
No, yes.
Small shot there. He was not. He did play the Marine, though, in a movie, which is pretty close.
Yeah.
That is very confusing that I think of him as a Marine. Plus, he's got the haircut, but he didn't serve. Okay.
Well, not anymore.
You won.
Seen his hair lately?
Congrats, Gio.
Thank you.
Hold on, please.
All right. Hey, go ahead and turn your radios down, folks, before you get on the air, too. That'll help a lot.
Francisco in Fontana. Hi.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, Francisco. Did Golden Girl Bea Arthur, was she ever in the armed forces?
No.
She was in the armed forces.
She was?
Yeah, it's actually kind of amazing. She was amongst the first women ever to be an active duty U.S. Marine. She served for 30 months and denied ever serving. She never wanted the individual praise. And after she passed away, it was exposed.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I bet she would have been a badass Marine, too.
Yeah, she was a truck driver.
All right, Francisco is dead. Who's next?
Next up is Brett in Huntington Beach. Good morning, Brett.
Happy Friday, people.
Brett, congratulations. You've just won Black Ops.
Brett, I'm rooting for you on this one. Sinbad, was he in the armed forces?
No.
Oh, wrong.
He was. He was a U.S. Air Force boom operator and was dismissed with a dishonorable charge for various misbehaviors, including going AWOL.
Oh. No kidding.
Wow. And he never played a genie in a movie.
Wow. No need of that.
This is, they're about as good at this as we were yesterday trying to play off the air, by the way. We've only given away one Black Ops so far.
Jeez.
Let's go to Yeltsin in Moreno Valley. Hi.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, Yeltsin. How about Kiefer Sutherland? Was he in the armed forces?
I'm going to say no.
He was not, but he wasn't in Few Good Men, and he once ran full speed into a Christmas tree.
Congrats, you win.
All right, that's two. Again, if you're just joining us, we're playing for the new Call of Duty Black Ops 4. Your choice of PS4 or Xbox One in stores everywhere today. The game is called Celebrity Valor. Who's up next?
Joe in Canoga Park. Hi.
Morning.
All right, here's someone who hasn't been in the news lately. Bill Cosby. Was he in the armed forces?
Yes, he was.
He was. Wow. He was a Marine during the Korean War in the medical department. What an honorable man.
Joe didn't even think about that.
No.
Yeah, he knew.
All right, that's three.
All right, well done.
Let's go to Nick in San Juan Capistrano. Hi.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hello. Hey, Nick. How about Tom Selleck? Was he in the armed forces?
Yes.
He was. He got a draft notice, and then he joined the California National Guard and served from 1967 to 1973.
Look at that.
Wow.
They're coming on strong now.
They are.
He's got three in a row. All right, let's go to Nico.
Nico, you ready to get some?
What's up, party people?
All right, here we go. Here's Jensen.
J.K. Simmons, was he in the armed forces?
No.
He was not, but he looks like it.
He sure does look like it.
How about that? Congratulations, you guys. You have all just won your choice of PS4 or Xbox One. The brand new Call of Duty is out today called Black Ops 4. This has been Celebrity Valor.
Thanks for playing Celebrity Valor! Get some!
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
Looking forward to our new feature, Don't Touch Kids, because I think this is something... This is something that I think is going to catch on. Mm-hmm. I think we spread the word. We make this our cause. Don't touch kids.
Yeah.
This is for you, Catholic Church.
Oh, jeez.
This came up unexpectedly on the program, right? Yesterday, Allie?
Yeah, yesterday I was doing a story on what's happening because I was like, this is ridiculous. It's all about people that are buying signs, and Etsy now, the website Etsy, is selling signs that you can put on either your carriage or maybe you've got a cart at the grocery store that says, please don't touch. Please look, don't touch. Stop, no touching. Your germs are too big for me. And you place it right by your child. And I was like, who's just walking around all willy-nilly touching kids that don't belong to them?
Now, you sure those signs aren't being made for the zoo?
Like, no,
that makes more sense. You don't put your hand in the lion pen.
These are for children. And I thought, this is just insane. This is not a thing. Until my email lit up. My Twitter lit up.
Halfway through talking about it.
People were like, yeah, it happens. PJ Bovey said, it's absolutely bonkers how many people touch or try to touch my 13-month-old. They just assume it's okay because babies are babies. It's incredibly awkward to tell them to stop or say no. You don't just grab a random person's dog. Why a baby? And then another person, Johnny Rodriguez, says, my daughter's super cute and really chunky, so we constantly have random people obsessing with her and her roles and always asking if it's okay. What? People are insane. Like,
who walks up to a baby of somebody that you've never met?
And just touches.
That's insane. Insanity.
Apparently, it's happening a lot to a lot of people.
So those signs literally are needed.
They are needed. Yeah.
Wow. I thought it was just like a one-off trying to be funny thing.
Right.
I can't imagine doing that.
Right.
No.
I can't. I mean, that's... people are pretty invested in their little bundles of joy.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to kind of be in control of what their faces come in contact with.
And they can, they do get sick rather easily. Absolutely. And they can't fight off certain things.
Yeah. Just random stranger coming up and touching your baby. It's like the people that want to touch pregnant women's bellies.
Same
what is
thing.
Wrong with you
right.
people? Even like best friends should be like, can I touch your belly? And then if they say yes, touch the belly. But a stranger?
I think if they say yes, still don't touch the belly.
Okay, that's probably good. Yeah.
Respect a little personal space, even if it's an infant. So we want to take your calls. If you've been involved in this situation, by the way, on either side of the transaction, if you have had
you're a baby. Let's say you were a baby and you were in a stroller.
No, I'm saying if you made the mistake of going up and touching somebody's baby and you got slugged, I want to hear from you. And I also want to hear, in particular, from the parents who have had to deal with this because we were stunned how often it happens. Listen to this. This is from Wendy, who texted us from Denver. When my son was 3 weeks old, we took him to a restaurant. By the way, keep him home.
Yeah, that's a bad move right there.
The waitress kept rubbing her hands on his face like she was drying them on a towel. I wanted to stab her hand with my fork. My husband asked her to not do this, and she started fighting with him.
What?
Oh, my God.
She said her hands weren't dirty because she had cleaned something with bleach earlier.
Okay.
All right.
She caused such a scene that we left in the middle of dinner. People are awful. Signs are actually needed for the idiots with no manners or common sense.
Wow.
Wendy seems uptight that she doesn't want a stranger coming up and rubbing bleach in her kid's face.
Crazy.
So 1-800-520-1067. Has somebody come up and started touching your baby? And they did not know the motto of the Kevin and Bean Show, which is don't touch kids, right?
Right.
I mean,
that's
the new motto, yeah.
We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
K-Rock. Let's take one phone call. Let's make it Patrick in Encino. Good morning, Patrick.
Hey, good morning, you guys. This is a real legit topic.
Wow.
Really? Okay. Because if you're a parent, you know exactly what you guys are talking about. I mean, when your baby is super small, if people touch them and they get sick, they have to go to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And people don't get that they just can't touch your baby.
Well, here's our thing. How many people would you estimate come up and touch your baby? Because we were surprised that this even is a problem.
If you went to the market and you're holding your baby, guaranteed someone's going to touch your baby.
Wow. So like every time you're out with an infant, somebody's going to come up and just touch it without asking.
Yeah, if you end up in a line somewhere or something.
Wow.
So they always want to touch your baby.
You need to carry around a taser.
Well, my friend Josh was doing iron-ons, and he was doing little things for his friends, for the kids, for showers and stuff. Anyways, I had to make me a onesie that said, "Don't touch me, please."
Awesome. For you or for the baby?
For both of us. But no, when we'd go out and in a public place, we'd put the onesie on my child so people just wouldn't touch him.
Really? That's worked? Nuts. It worked?
You know, it would get a laugh out of some people, but some people would get the point.
That
I think
is...
some people maybe were offended, but I don't care.
Yeah, right.
No, it would only make me want to touch the baby touch more, baby. To be honest. I'd be like, you're daring me to not touch that baby? I'm going to touch that baby!
if you're a parent, you know exactly what you guys are talking about.
Yeah. That is super smart that you were proactive on that, and I guess that's why Allie announced yesterday that they're selling those in the Etsy store, because other people want them too. We appreciate the call.
Right?
It's an epidemic, by the way. These people coming up to random strangers on the street or in the supermarket or wherever and just manhandling their infants. What the heck is going on?
I was shocked when I got all the tweets after I did the story thinking, there's no way people are buying signs that say, don't touch my baby.
Allie said that first, and then 10 minutes later she said, you guys will never believe. And then 20 minutes later she said, you guys will never believe.
The amount of tweets were insane, but I just got this one from Misfit Mom. A waitress stuck her finger in our baby son's mouth and squealed, I love baby gums. Oh. We were young parents, but still horrified. I kept thinking about how dirty money is and waitresses deal with a lot of cash. Not just that, it's a stranger sticking her finger in your baby son's mouth. But she loves baby gums. What a freak.
Yeah.
Not a bad catchphrase, though.
Right? I love baby gums.
Yeah.
Let's try Susie Simi Valley Line 8 here on the Kevin Bean Show. She is not the baby toucher, but she has one in her family. Let's find out how she's dealing with it. Susie, welcome to the show.
Hi. My mother is a baby toucher.
Oh, no.
She will go up to random people in the grocery store, and she will walk up and go, oh, my gosh, babies. Like she's never seen one before, and she will touch them.
Oh, man.
And I tell her, Mom, don't touch that random stranger's baby. And she's, oh, I just made cookies. It's just fine.
What does that even mean?
That's what I'm trying to have my baby avoid, people who are handing out cookies.
What's the reaction she gets from the people? You say she's done this multiple times. How do people respond to her?
Well, they look at her kind of strangely, and then I go, okay, Mom, come on. It was only received well once on an airplane. There was this single guy. He's got the diaper bag, single dad. He's walking down the aisle, and my mom's sitting there, and you should have seen her eyes light up.
Oh, no.
And this guy who's totally stressed out about going on an airplane with his child, and my mom's like, oh! She held that baby the entire flight.
Oh! Wow. Did she ask permission?
Yeah.
He was 20 rows
know.
Back.
I'm like, what are you
looking for his baby the whole flight?
It's fine. Right. I just made cookies.
All right, Susie, give your mom our best and tell her to don't touch kids. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to line 6. This is Brian. He's in Ladera Ranch. This is a crazy story as well. Brian, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show.
Hello.
Hello, Brian.
I think everything's right.
He's going once. Twice?
Yeah, he's not there.
Oh.
And Lynn in Fullerton on line 1. She's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Lynn, are you there?
I am here.
Beautiful. All right. What's going on? You got a little boy?
Well, he's 14 now, but at the time he was only about 3 months, and I was at the Orange County Fair with my husband and our older son, our first son, and he had like flaming orange hair, and for some reason everyone was attracted to it. He was 3 months old. I had him in the little carrier, and I had strangers at the Orange County Fair come up to me. me, Daddy.
Oh, she's cutting in and out now.
Yeah, we're losing her.
I mean, all I need to know is that they were at the Orange County Fair and people were touching her.
Right.
Which means they touched goats, they touched funnel cake. I don't get near my kid.
I don't like any of that.
But the little kid was so cute with his red hair, you guys.
No. You can admire from afar, right?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to, thank you, Lynn. I'm sorry your phone cut out. Let's go to a similar story on line five. This is going to be John in Irvine. He's running into this all the time, too. John, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
My daughter was born in Central Africa, so she doesn't look like me nor more than 1% of the entire population of Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
But people come up to her all the time and just grab her hair and just, mm-hmm. oh, my goodness, amazing. Mm-hmm. And there's one rule, guys. Don't touch a black woman's hair.
Amen, John. Amen.
You can never be too young to know that, right?
Do not do that. It takes 6 to 9 hours to get her hair done. Do not touch a black woman's hair.
Wow.
Yes, that is very good advice. I had no idea that black people were so scarce down in Irvine. So it's like a
Orange County, for God's sakes, Pete.
It's a curiosity. Like, people line up around the block just to touch your baby, I bet.
1,000 kids at my kid's school, and she's one of three.
Mm. Wow. All right. Well, congratulations on your daughter. Thank you, John. We appreciate you calling. All right. Let's go to Albert, line three. He's in Hacienda Heights. He has a different situation. It's twice as bad for him.
Hey, Albert.
Hey, guys. Yeah, so I have identical twins. They were born on Valentine's Day as a kicker. And a specific, well, the Asian community seems to be amazed by this. They take pictures of them when we're not looking. They get near them. They're just fascinated by them. And we don't understand what the big deal is. It's just babies. So, I mean, we're constantly, we have to give ourselves 45 minutes for Q&A every time we go to the market.
Wow.
Because they want to know their life story. And people, they try to grab them. They try to tickle them. They try to do... And it's like, no, leave my freaking kids alone. What the hell is your problem?
What the hell is the problem is right.
Stop having such cute twins, Albert.
That's on you, Albert.
Come on.
But Albert,
have some ugly kids, people. It'll help.
That's what we're
Albert,
saying.
It is true, though, that when you hurt one of them, the other one feels it, right?
I think so, because, well, I am a bad parent, and I do, you know, hurt them, and, you know, they do cry, but, you know, whatever.
Same
it is what it is.
Same with the people touch them. Same thing.
Yeah.
Touching them both. Stop it.
Now, my kids are scared to go around strangers. Before, they used to be very welcoming and stuff, but now they don't want to be away from us because they're just scared. People do scare little kids.
Mm, yeah.
And they're about, you know, 18 months now, and they're freaked out by people because people just go. And they're aggressive about it at times, too. They don't understand that you can't just touch people's babies.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy that you wouldn't be able to say one thing and have them just back away as fast as possible.
Yeah.
They're like, oh no.
I've grabbed people's wrists and like, no, don't be touching my baby. I've almost gotten in altercations because of it, because it gets upsetting. It's like, what makes you think you have a right to touch someone else's baby? And coming from a person that never wanted to hold a newborn because I'm scared that, you know, my germs is going to, their immune system is weak and stuff. I've never wanted to touch babies. So when they just come up and think, hey, it's okay, I could just go ahead and, you know, tickle your baby, grab them, do whatever. It doesn't work that way. Get the hell away.
It's a disconnect for sure. Well, those people have not heard the new motto of the Kevin and Bean Show, which is don't touch kids.
The Kevin and Bean Show, world famous K-Rock.
Allie is here with one of our favorite What's Happenings of the Week.
Yes, on Friday around this time, we do the same thing. We like to highlight our That's My Jam playlist. If you go to at Kevin and Bean on Twitter or Facebook, you can find our playlist. Just click follow on there and you're going to get new songs that people from the Kevin and Bean Show have been digging. Might be something brand new, might be something that they just stumbled across and forgot how much they loved it. But it just kind of shows all of our differences, what we tend to like that maybe we don't play on here on K-Rock. Maybe we do play it, but it's just a great playlist. I think it's over 3.5 hours now. So there's a ton of music on there for you, and we each get to pick a song every week. Let's start with Kevin.
Mine is one that we will definitely play. It's Weezer with Pete Wentz. Mm-hmm. It was released yesterday. Everybody knows Black Album next year. They're going to tour with the Pixies, but they released yesterday morning, Can't Knock the Hustle.
Now you can criticize me for anything. I ain't like them other boys. Higher education is the key to escape. But I never learned to roll a joint.
funky for
them.
Yeah,
I believe Consequence of Sound called it a funky detour for Weezer, and I love that. Excellent pick. Bean, what about you?
That, by the way, that is also good advice, along with Don't Touch Kids, which is Can't Knock the Hustle. Right?
Yeah. Agreed.
A singer you may have heard of before, her name is Sigrid. She is from Norway, young woman, very talented. She had a song last year that got a lot of buzz called Don't Kill My Vibe, if you ever heard that. Well, she's back with a new song and a new album. This is Norwegian singer Sigrid. Her song is called Sucker Punch. It hit me like a sucker punch.
Even though Bean only listens to music from Norway, that's great.
It's true. You do love Norway.
I do. I'm a fan of hers, and I'm really, really excited about this new record.
Great song. That's really fun. Jensen, I believe this is the band that you brought us last week, right?
I'm doubling down. Mm-hmm. This was the St. Louis quartet Foxing. They were my get up on this pick last week, but I can't stop listening to it.
Really?
Still in my mix. And I also think this should be on K-Rock, so I'm playing it again. This is a song called Heartbeats off their new album, Near My God. No one's making any sound. It's a good one till I sever it seen. From the God who loves a better tune, begging forgiveness. They told you instead, pull that right part out of your chest. It doesn't mean anything to me now. You are not in love.
Jensen just starts and he's making demands about music on K-Rock now.
Listen, I'm telling you, it's sad and you can dance to it. That's what I'm looking for.
I like it.
I was thinking that when Jensen has been here a little longer, he'll realize how little K-Rock cares what we want them to play.
Well, the good news is I've been asking for Weezer Africa every day and I get it. So,
sure do. Good Absolutely. Enough. And that's why we do this playlist, because we all have such varied taste. It's good to hear what everybody on the Kevin and Bean Show is into. Now, if you're a K-Rock listener, you absolutely know this band. I make no secret of my love for all things 80s. It's true. I loved 80s music a lot.
Yep.
And when I hear that Echo and the Bunnymen have returned with a new album called The Stars, The Oceans, and The Moon, with reimagined versions of classic tracks, The Cutter, Lips Like Sugar, Bring on the Dancing Horses, and then two brand new songs, I was in. And then I heard a piano-led version of the iconic 1984 song, The Killing Moon, and my emo 80s heart exploded. So here is their reimagining of The Killing Moon. Fate up against your will, through the thick and thin. You will wait until you give yourself to him. Oh, Allie, it's okay.
It's all right, Allie.
By the way, 30 years later, Ian McCulloch can still really sing.
Good God, he can. All of the new versions of the songs are phenomenal. By the way, he once described The Killing Moon as, quote, the greatest song ever written. not that he's ever written, but greatest song ever written, which I dig about him because, I mean, it's a great song, but Ian, calm your teeth.
But he said that before Bad Barbie came onto the scene, right?
Or that cow song.
Oh, sure. Right.
We don't talk about her anymore.
Well,
remember? She's got some problems.
Oh, well, still greatest song ever written.
Okay. So that
or
is
Baby
our...
Shark. I mean, that's in there.
Why would you do
it? It's in the
it.
Mix. I'm just saying, we're talking about the greatest songs of all time.
If you're going to put earworms in, I'm going to say 1-800-1877-CARS for kids just to mess you up.
Well, let's not pretend we're two eyes, guys. The greatest.
Two eyeballs.
Oh, yeah. Two eyeballs. Yeah. I have a different song called Two Eyes.
You remixed it.
I'll be debuting that next
remix.
Week.
Remix.
Yeah.
So just follow along at Kevin and Bean on Twitter or Facebook. We have posted the That's My Jam playlist. It's real good, you guys. Some birthdays for you. Kirk Cameron, Hugh Jackman, Josh Hutcherson, and that's what's happening.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
We have a change in schedule here. We're going to do something else here. But, Kevin, you were just talking about your pick for the Kevin and Bean playlist for this week, which is the new Weezer song. Just came out yesterday called Can't Knock the Hustle. Let me hear a bit of that, please. Now you can criticize me for anything. I ain't like them other boys. Higher education is the key to escape. But I never learned to roll a joint. Can't knock the hustle. Right. I like this this trend of replaying my clips. Fantastic. Well,
the reason we're doing it is because that is coming from the Weezer Black album, which is due out in 2019. The star of that video, Can't Knock the Hustle, happens to be on the phone right now. He plays the cab driver in the clip, and he is Pete Wentz, who joins us on Q-Rec right now. Hey, Pete, how are you?
Good,
I was so sad.
We got to put that in quotes. We got to put star in quotes there, I feel like.
Well, I mean, there's three people in the video, and you're the one with the most screen time, so I say we give it to you.
Yeah, sure.
That's you.
I appreciate that, you know?
I was just so sad to see that you're driving an Uber now in your spare time, you know? It's just kind of tough.
You know? An Uber X, man.
Right.
Let's not
undersell
Pete.
It. So how did this happen, Pete? I mean, obviously you and the guys have known each other for a long time, but how did it come together?
I think that, like, people mistake that Rivers has, like, a wicked sense of humor or, like, a wicked awareness of the world. You know what I mean? Like, a guy who, like, kind of, like, in some ways predated like meme culture or internet meme culture, you know, like, and I think this is all kind of like his little wicked scheme, you know, that is really funny and really bizarre. And he's like, yeah, and you end up freaking out, and then you like push this like fake drink ad that we got. So I'm like, okay, sure, this is great.
what is Pineapple Man?
Man, I think what it actually was like some kind of Lipton's tea of some kind, but it was pretty disgusting at Venice at like 2 a.m.
I mean, do you have these crazy Rivers stories? I mean, from working with him, like, we always hear things like he won't leave his house for 6 days, and then he walks into a liquor store and like throws a beer against the wall. Like, do you have any of those stories from working with him?
I don't know if they're like crazy. Like, it's like one of those ones where like me and Travis from Blink-182 and Rivers all were Taylor Swift's band in this, like,
Mad some, like, Libs?
Commercial. No, in a commercial, like a guitar, like, I can't remember what it was, like, it was some, like, video game commercial.
Okay.
And, like, you just hear, like, Rivers tell stories, you know, and they were interesting. Like, you know, like, it was just, like, he was, like, knitting a blanket, you know, whatever, and someone on the crew was like, "That's what is that?" And he's like, "It's a blanket." And they were like, "Oh, it's a really small blanket." And he's like, "Oh, it's for a child." And you're like, "Well, no one talks like that. That's so weird." It's like, but it's not really that. Like, I think if you like break it all down, it's not really that weird. It's not like a guy trying to be weird. It's just a person that's interesting. And I think that's what makes his lyrics interesting and what has made the band's career so interesting and vital. You know, is that he's just like got a slightly askew perspective.
Listen, I love Rivers for that reason, because a lot of people try to act, you know, kind of cool or weird or different, but he sort of really is the genuine thing, but he's also fantastic.
Yeah, it's like a clock that's just set like slightly wrong.
Well, we're talking to Pete Wentz here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is the cab driver in the video for the new Weezer song called the Uber driver, Can't Knock the Hustle. And it's a great song and it's a great video. So we see something like this that plays out in 4 minutes. How long did it take you? How much driving around did you actually have to do to shoot this video, Pete?
I mean, listen, guys. You won't want to miss when we put out the Criterion version of this video. It's wild. We went deep, you know, method on this thing.
You've been driving an Uber Black for 6 months?
He's driving right now. Did you hear the kid?
It's one of those ones where they're like, where you're driving, you're on the back, you're on the back of a flatbed truck driving, you know, for like 4 hours to get this footage, and you're like, I'm certain you got my best performance.
I got nothing better for you.
Just one more for safety. One more for safety. It's like 3 a.m., and you're like, okay, cool. You're eating, like, bad Wendy's. You know, like, it's like,
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of extra footage around.
Oh, I remember Pete Wentz's episode arc on One Tree Hill, so I think we're underselling his acting skills. Mm.
Thanks, bro.
So, Pete, you've got a couple in the back seat in this video that are making out like crazy, and then something goes wrong, and somebody gets stabbed, and everybody's screaming. And I mean, you got feet basically in the front seat with you while you're trying to drive. I mean, it looked pretty tight in there.
Yeah, and the thing I think that you don't really see in the video is. Well, you obviously can't see in the video, but the girlfriend or the woman in the video is French, and she has a crazy, like, thick French accent. Mm-hmm. And somehow it makes the arguing and the, like, berating, like, I'm like, wow, this is amazing. You know, like, I'm like, oh, God, like, yell at him some more. You
know, like, this is kind of sexy.
It's a weird art.
Yeah, it's something kind of amazing about it.
Well, it's a very cool video. We do have it up at krock.com. Again, this song is called Can't Knock the Hustle, and it's an awesome, funky song. And Pete, you've heard that your good friend Jensen Karp now is here with us on the Kevin and Bean Show, right?
I have. I love Jensen, and I was a fan of the demo, you know what I mean? Like, very early on, so I'm glad to see...
Yeah, Pete was one of the first guests. He was one of the first guests on my podcast, so that technically is the demo tape.
Well, exactly. You know, we love having you you on anytime, Pete, so we appreciate you dialing in today, and, you know, come back and see us soon, all right? Good luck with everything.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Have a great one.
Bye. Appreciate it.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
I'm gonna you gently.
They formed a band, they named Janisha's and then they got to thinking destiny.
Rocking and freaking rolling and freaking rocking.
The government totally sucks, you mother trucker.
The government totally sucks.
I am the rocker. I make the rock go. It's the rise of the Phoenix.
Metal!
Allie, seriously, first of all, the guy's dancing to the intro is awesome.
There's nothing better.
And second of all, Allie, you've been begging for the D. You can't wait for the D.
I don't stop talking about the D.
And the D is here, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Jack Glass, yep. Kyle Gass, triumphant return on K-Rock. How are you, boys?
That's the best way to wake up.
Yes.
To your own glorious package.
Snippets of our best hits.
Sometimes it surprises you as well.
We're good. How are you?
Good.
You have been very busy making the rounds about the post-apocalypto, which we cannot wait to talk about.
Yeah.
You have been everywhere. We have seen way too much of Kyle's body in the How to Draw video.
You love it, though. You make it viral, though.
Yeah, that's for sure. And you did the Hot Wings Challenge, too, which I was fascinated by. For people who don't know what that is, tell folks what that is.
It's a talk show where the host and the guest eat hot wings that start at very mild and get progressively spicier until you get to Da Bomb, which is, it's 1 through 10.
Which is only number 8, by the way.
On the heat-o-meter.
Okay.
But number 8 is the hottest one, and it's brutal. And weirdly, it got kind of like intimate. He dug deep with some good questions.
Well, that's their hook. See, they got you off balance.
It was a great interview. But you know, you guys don't have to keep going. You can stop at any time.
And
you both ran the table and went all the way to the end and ate the hottest wings in the world.
We heard that like Weird Al Yankovic went the whole way or whatever. It just became it becomes competitive when you find out what celebrities made it all the way through 10. You don't want to be
a loser where they go, Jack Black was in here, he didn't do anything.
And you also don't want to be one of the nibblers, because if you get a reputation for going in there and just taking a tiny little bite of a wang and count that as I ate that wing.
Right.
Yeah. Now, that's not how we roll.
You're a purist.
We eat the whole damn wing.
I've never seen two people more miserable during an interview, though. I mean, I really thought you were going to have to be taken to the hospital. I really thought you were going to pass out or something.
We did, too.
There's probably been a case of someone dying from too spicy a wang.
Well, like you said, if you get the spice on the wrong part of your body,
oh my god,
bad things can happen.
Is that right?
Yeah. You got to be careful. You got to definitely wash up good before you touch any part of your body after that show. Yeah.
Noted. Like your wang, right?
Exactly. Yeah. You want to talk about hot wang?
So the reason you've been everywhere is because of Post Apocalypto, which is your new web series available on YouTube.
Yeah.
How is it legally allowed on YouTube?
And Episode 2. Let's just start with that.
And not even YouTube Red.
Right. No. How did you get this? This is straight up animated pornography. How is it available on the internet?
Well, that would be the case if there were no artistry.
It's called art. It's called art.
Well, yeah, I don't know what you call it, but I wouldn't call it pornography. I think it's actually some of our sweetest stuff we've ever done. There's always an emotional core to the...
It's tender.
To the sexualization of the D. But... the answer is we tried to go with Netflix and HBO and all of the rest, the Amazons, and they for whatever reason, I think it's because we're ahead of our time. Sure. We're not ready. They weren't able to wrap their heads around the concept. So we were like, we have no choice. We're going YouTubes.
All right.
And God bless them for giving us a platform to put our show on. But there are age restrictions in place.
Yeah, you have to sign in, right?
And not only that, but the age restrictions have like created this little hoop that makes it kind of hard to find the episode. So good luck finding it. If you can find it, I think you're going to love it.
It's never going to be recommended, you know.
Okay. Because a lot of things on YouTube, you'll just find them randomly. It'll pop up like, oh, here's a new thing. And we're not in that rotation. Okay. You have to actively go and search it out and sign in.
But go to your channel. Go to the D channel. That's what you do.
There you go.
All right.
I watch the D channel all day.
It's
like cable news for you. You can't turn it off.
Here's a question I'm sure you've been asked before, especially this one's directed toward you, Mr. Black, and that is, there were no other animators available?
There were, actually.
Oh, there were. Really.
There were people.
That's what he meant.
But they're very expensive. And also, we just wanted to do it ourselves and keep it in-house because we have a theory, and it's based on Beavis and Butthead, that it doesn't have to be a great drawing to be a funny drawing. Like, we could have got a better artist to do all of these drawings, but I don't think it would have been funnier that way. I think it just would have been like, you know.
I agree.
It would have looked like what it should look like.
And it would have been a little less from our subconscious.
Yeah, we'd be in trouble there.
This was very much tenacious. It's the most tenacious D thing we've ever put out.
How many drawings do you have that you didn't use that are just piling up in your house?
Oh my God, there are so many. He would obsessively draw the drawings, and so there'd be like 14 pictures of a dragon. Now, which one shall we use?
At some point, you just go, just give me 3 choices. That's too much.
I'd rather they didn't know how hard I worked on those
copies. Oh, my God.
Sorry. I
got a few hundred of them in the reject.
Wow. Here's what I love about the artistry on this show, though, is that it changes pictures at least every 2 minutes.
It's true. It's not technically an animated film. Right.
It's motion pictures. It's very slow.
And there's no effort to make the lips move or anything. No. And I just love that.
What do you want, a clutch car going?
I just love it. I'm just saying I love it.
Anybody?
But once in a while, like at the end of episode 3 that just dropped on YouTube's.
Today, right?
There is a little animation at the end of that episode on the cliffhanger.
I heard a complaint that there was too much animation.
People
How long did it take you guys to make Post Apocalypto? You're doing it all yourself. You're doing all the voices, all the animation. How long did the whole process take?
Just over 2 years.
Yeah. Story and figuring out the beginning, middle, and end and the arc of the thing. And then the drawing of the pictures took a long time. That was like a full-time job for a while.
Did you ever get annoyed? Like people calling, look, we need this artwork done. What's happening with you?
Because we didn't have a boss.
Because you're in every other movie. Oh, you didn't have a boss. Okay.
No, we didn't have a Showtime or a
I want a
showrunner.
I want to name a different network every time. I don't want to get hung up on it. We didn't have a Hulu boss saying, "Hey, where's that artwork?"
So you are debuting. We'll see if we get to the end of the series. And how, there's going to be how many? Six, eight? How many?
Six total. It's a okay. Six-episode webisode miniseries.
So we will have seen. We will have heard half of the new post-apocalypto album. Then at that point,
by today, right?
By today,
yeah.
But there are a couple things on the album that are not in the series. A couple bonus.
It's a 21-track album, right?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. The new album comes out on November 2nd. Let me play a clip. Our guests are Jack Black and Kyle Gass. We're talking to Tenacious D here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Go to YouTube and watch Post Apocalypta. Here's one of my favorite clips from the series. It'll give you a little bit of flavor. Now, you got to understand that the guys are riding through the desert on a motorcycle.
Tell me why.
Ain't nothing but a mistake.
And tell me why.
Ain't nothing but a heartbreak.
Yeah, tell me why. I never want to hear you say I want it that way.
Did you hear that vibrato?
Uh-huh. Yeah, spot on.
I'm in a weirdly good mood for the post-apocalyptic world we live in now.
Yeah.
Dude, you know what I would give for some glazed ribs?
Oh,
man. And ribs, man.
I mean, that's all you need to know. Yeah.
That's the series, you guys.
It's like, was that well, wasn't really some story was points. That Road Warrior?
A quick break. More with our friends in Tenacious D when we return on K-Rock.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Jack Black, Kyle Gass, Tenacious D, greatest band in the world, back in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I can't imagine how many times you guys have come in throughout the many, many years we've been here, but we always appreciate you. I want you to know that.
Oh, dude. Well, the feeling's mutual. I can't.
Now, we're in a different place. You were stopped from parking? What happened, Jack?
Well, the lady is very protective of the parking spaces. The parking lot is totally empty. And she said, you can't park there. That's for...
you think it's the beard?
For VIP.
That's for employees only. And I was like, well, I'm kind of an employee. I'm going to be working kind of today. Okay, right? Sorry. And then I moved to another parking space. She's like, still no.
She's full. Like,
you tell me where do I park? She said, way over there in the corner next to the gray car. But I got in. But
you're
she
parking shamed.
She also wanted, where are you going? What are you doing? How long are you going to be here?
Man. Wow.
And then finally she gave me the
she
spot.
Didn't, she was giving you the stink eye. She didn't like you
trust
at all.
Me at all. Well, in her defense, I do have a crazy Unabomber beard going.
Well, I wanted to ask about that because I don't know how competitive you guys are, but Kyle has always been the winner in the beard game.
I know.
And I feel like you're going for it, Jack, and I'm just wondering if this is creating any tension right now.
Yeah, I am finally coming into my own beard power game, but Kyle's is more like a LeBron, I think, right? That's what you were modeling
yours after. Or a road production of Fiddler on the Roof.
Oh, yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
His looks professional. Yours looks a little homeless, if you don't mind my saying.
No, it's true. But
hipster homeless.
I think it's because of the salt and pepper. I still got a lot of pepper in my beard, but Cage is all Santa all the time.
He is. Very Santa. So when people see you on the street, Jack, a lot of times I imagine since you have this janky beard, I'll say it, they go, is that Jack Black? No, he looks terrible. It can't be.
You think the beard is disguising him?
Yes, I do.
Jack put on a Star Wars helmet at a Comic-Con,
and
people recognized him.
They knew it was me from my gait, just from the way
I walked. Walk.
Yeah. And I think I said something to a friend, and they were like, that is absolutely 1,000% Jack Black. There's nothing more embarrassing being busted in a costume you were trying to wear to hide.
I can see that, yeah.
I love when the celebs wear the ball cap. That's going to do it. They'll never know.
It does it for
Leonardo
some of them.
DiCaprio in Central Park.
Can we talk about Cal Jam for a minute?
Yeah.
How was it for you guys?
Oh, man. That was a fun one.
It was actually one of the funner ones.
It was one of the funnest ones. Yeah. It was cool. You drive out there about a couple hours and...
Usually it's
like
120.
You're out in the country. I felt like I was in, you know...
Yeah, you're nowhere near a city.
In the sticks.
Yeah.
And they take over the whole area. It's ginormous. And we wandered out of our trailer to check out this new band. What are they called? Greta Van Fleet.
Right.
They were Van Zeppelin, so young and just sexy, young, like Zeppelin-looking kids.
You seem angry.
And well, I was angry because I was like, this is a new generation of rockers. But it felt like we were listening to something from 45 years ago. It was weird. It was a time warp.
But thank God for this festival to have, so rock bands have a place to play, though.
Totally. And then we go up to our stage, and right next to us, there's another band called Black Mountain. Mm-hmm. And they were sounding fantastic. So we definitely felt like,
a little pressure?
We got to take it up a notch. And I think we did. That was one of our better shows, I think. Yeah. Although our shows are all pretty rad.
I mean, really.
That one we
were talking about the difference between a 9 or a 10. I mean,
but dude, that show, Foo Fighters close the show, and they close with a Nirvana reunion.
Yeah. Come on.
That's pretty badass.
No,
pretty say, wait, but who played Kurt Cobain? They went two people. They went with Joan Jett.
They didn't go hologram.
And I know
didn't go hologram.
They could go hologram. Maybe.
Were you on the side, Jack, going, I can sing?
I know. I've always
hey, wait
said,
a minute. I'm here. I can sing.
I've always said Tenacious D should be the new lead singer of Nirvana. But no one's listening.
Wait, you, me, and Dave. We could do
That's
it.
That's right.
Speaking of your friend Dave, he once again is going to be on your record, right? He's playing some drums.
It's
Thunderskins, as you say, on Post Apocalypto.
We got him.
That's fantastic. Have you been doing the new songs in concert, too?
No. We haven't been playing. We're gearing up for the big unveiling of all the new album.
If they don't know them.
November 3rd is our first official show in New York City.
Okay.
And then we're going on tour, doing East Coast and then West Coast in December. And we've got a big plan for the show. It's going to be kind of like Pink Floyd, The Wall. You know, it's like a concept album concert.
Sure.
We can't really peek behind that curtain just yet.
I feel like if there's not an ending like the Rise of the Phoenix tour, getting sprayed,
I know.
I need that.
That's tough to top.
But was that confetti?
That's not what she was talking about.
What?
All right.
Who?
Yeah, the confetti that comes out of the...
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The phallus?
I know. Yep. That was a big finish.
Yes.
But, we've got some things in store. We've got some things up the sleeve.
And you're coming to the Hollywood Palladium on Friday, December 21st.
I think that's just announced today.
Just announced today. Friday, December 21st. Tickets go on sale today.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic.
At 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.
Right. Whoa, it's not right. on sale yet.
Right, 10 a.m. today.
Okay, just announced, and we're going to give away the first 5 pair of tickets to that right now.
Whoa.
You better act fast, because my guest list is over 1,000, I think.
This is money out of your pocket,
yeah,
Kyle. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So the tickets go on sale this morning at 10 a.m., but you can win them right now. If you love the D like we do, you can call 1-800-520-1067. Callers 20 through 24, you win tickets to the show at the Hollywood Palladium on December the 21st. You know what I've always wanted to ask you guys that I never have, for each of you individually, when did you first start playing music as a kid? What drew you to it?
Well, we had to play recorder in fifth grade. I think
both
kids
you?
In California.
Not me.
No?
Not Jack.
That's
right.
How you started, though, Kyle, was recorder?
Yes.
Kyle's talking about his friends from his class in 1923. They all had to play recorder.
All right, so, Kyle, you're playing the recorder, but most people would just do that because they have to and they need the school credit, but then obviously something...
No, I never stopped. I never stopped playing.
You still play it?
Yes, I do. Actually,
December 21st at the Palladium?
Oh, he'll bust out the recorder. Oh, yeah.
How many instruments do you now play, Kyle? Because I know you are a tremendously accomplished guitar player.
No, I can really, I can only play a guitar. And
you play ukulele.
Oh, no, that's a stringed instrument. I'm saying
it's
wrong.
You know, we've only won one Grammy, and it was for our cover of a Ronnie James Dio song, The Last in Line.
People are still mad about that, too.
Was it The Last in Line? Wait, which song did we win?
It was The Last
in Line. And Cage ripped an amazing recorder solo.
Nice.
That I'm convinced is the reason we got the Grammy.
Cue that up.
So you can make fun of Kyle's recorder, but
you got it.
It's got a satanic power that's unparalleled.
I don't think we have it. Satanic power. All right.
It opens a portal.
It releases the Kraken.
What about you, Jack?
When did you start musically?
Well, I was singing a lot as a kid. I would sing along to albums at home, and I did a lot of 4-track recording of harmonies in high school. But it wasn't until I joined forces with Kyle in the late '80s that he taught me how to play acoustic guitar. He's my guitar teacher. And
was that long ago?
Best stoner friend.
I know.
God. Wow.
Yeah, dude, we go back to the '80s.
Old. That's amazing.
Oh,
those are people.
When did you start? We started working on Tribute, our first song. We worked on that for about, I'm going to say, a year and a half. And then we had our first concert where we only had one song. It was tribute. And it was pretty powerful. And weirdly, in the audience was Harry Shearer of Spinal Tap. And he was vying. He thought we should be called Pets or Meat, but we went with Tenacious D against his wishes.
Okay, all right.
Just the fact that he was there was
when
special.
Did you start doing your covers on YouTube where you would just sing songs?
We first started doing when did we do? Oh, me.
Yeah, you. Oh, yeah, your Instagram.
Oh,
my
Instagram.
Instagram, yeah. I'm sorry.
You don't do it anymore.
You know what? I did that because I felt competitive with Dwayne The Rock Johnson because he was the king of Instagram.
I see.
He and Kevin Hart when we were doing Jumanji.
Gotcha.
I was like, you know what? I'm going to jump. I'm going to throw my hat in the ring. I'm going to do some Instas.
Mm-hmm. And how'd that work out for you?
It was good. I got some followers.
Right.
I don't have as many as Dwayne or Kevin,
okay.
But, you know.
That's what I was asking.
No.
Okay.
But, all right. You know, I'm no slouch. I might do some more of those. It's almost like having your own little 1 minute television show.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of fun to
do. So the D has been together for 30 years or close to it.
Yeah,
and
that's right. Yeah.
Please tell me you guys are going to last forever.
Oh yeah.
Well, I mean, do you drive each other crazy?
Oh, we'll never.
We'll never.
You'll never break up.
No, not. Well, okay, I mean, we break up every time we play live, but we always get back together.
I mean,
we'll never
the 401
not get back
is,
together.
It's not there. Real.
Gotcha.
Yet. I can't retire yet.
Because you guys
see, it's money.
Guys,
it's straight money.
It's straight. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You guys are. I think for a lot of us, you are our best friend goals, and that's why we're so happy every time we see you guys together, still enjoying the rock. You know what I mean? So.
Oh, Kyle's going in for the hug.
Oh,
Jack,
this is sweet.
Jack leaned back.
But Jack didn't really want much of it.
He didn't really want that hug.
No, that was.
All right.
That was strange.
That was unrequited.
It was a little creepy.
let me
Santa
sell
Claus come up.
I'm not happy
me.
With how this is ending, Bean.
Let me sell some stuff and we'll let you go.
Sensual Santa coming in for an unwanted hug.
Tenacious D at the Hollywood Palladium. The show is Friday, December 21st. Tickets go on sale today through Ticketmaster. I'm trying to do the plugs here, Allie.
Kyle won't sit down.
10 a.m. tickets at Ticketmaster. Go to YouTube and check out the series. It is awesome, you guys. It is called Post Apocalypto, and the album comes out on November 2nd. We love you guys. Thanks for coming by.
Love you.
Thank you both.
It's Kevin and Bean.
K-U-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
It is Friday, and it's that time again that we do Keep It 100, so hit it.
Keep it 100.
We ask you to text in any song you want that K-Rock's ever played. If we still have it, we'll play it for you. You get to pick the music heading into the weekend. Here's what we almost had. Texter number 99, Chris from Playa del Rey. You were very close to getting us playing Helmet Unsung, which, by the way, would have sounded awesome right now.
It's a good choice.
Texter 101 goes way back to K-Rock early days. 88 lines about 44 women by the Nails. You remember that one?
Wow, yes.
That's an amazing song, but not this week. I'm sorry about that. David, instead we go to the 714. Sean is on the line. He's from Orange.
Hey, Sean.
What's going on, guys? How are you?
We are good. Thank you.
We're great. Tell us about you, man. What's going on with you?
I'm a, just at work, project manager at a construction company. And I've been texting this song for about a year because, Dean, you made fun of it when it was Eclipse Fever. And you know what? Smash Mouth rocks.
I respect you. I love that you caught on to something Bean said way back when, and you've texted it every week.
Every week for a year.
Oh, that's awesome.
For a year. That's unbelievable. Now, I'm not going to dispute. I don't want to get into an argument because you sound like a nice guy. But define rocks.
You know what? I saw them at Lake Mission Viejo. It was a free concert last summer, and it was the funniest concert I have ever been to.
By the way, that's about the right price for a Smash Mouth.
They were dressed up like Shrek. It was hilarious.
All right, we're on the same page.
Okay, so hold on. It was intentionally hilarious?
I mean, probably not for them, but for everybody in the crowd it was.
All right. I think we're all saying the same thing here then.
I believe so, yeah.
Sean, what Smash Mouth song do you want to hear on Keep It 100?
Walking on the Sun.
You got it. Nice choice.
Keep it 100.
Say don't do right. Act now. Supplies are running out. Allow if you're still alive. 6 to 8 years to arrive. And if you follow them, may be out tomorrow. But if you're off the shun, you might as well be walking on the sun. You might as well be walking on the sun.
kind of a revenge text.
I know, a year. He worked a year on getting us to play that song.
That dude did not like what you said at the Eclipse.
Congratulations to Sean from Orange for this week's Keep It 100. That is Smash Mouth. All right, Allie, you're usually pretty good at this. You keep your songs straight. When was Smash Mouth's Walking on the Sun released?
That was late 90s, so it's definitely 97.
All right, which one?
God damn it, it's 98,
You're trying to take
97.
For both. Okay, 97 is her guess.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
Would you like to phone a friend?
No.
July of 1997.
Yay!
It was Smash Mouth's first hit. By the way, this shocked me. Greg Camp, guitarist for the band, says it was basically a social and racial battle cry.
Oh, yeah, that's obvious.
It was sort of a can't-we-all-get-along at the time that I wrote it. It was just all the things that were going on as me as a young person. And I thought, what the hell is happening? It's totally. Like we might as well be walking around a planet on fire. Oh, and that's how it came about.
Absolutely. It's almost like a Rage Against the Machine song
right?
in that way. Yeah, absolutely.
It's very cultural.
Well, that is this week's Keep
what
It
100.
That is this week's Keep It 100. We'll do it again next Friday. Thanks again, Sean.
It's Kevin and Bean.
K-U-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
Would you permit me, Allie?
Yes.
A few seconds for a new moment with.
Absolutely.
No. Well, I mean, let's just, you don't know that it's you, Kevin. It's always me.
It might not be you. 100% of the time.
All right, well, let's see.
All right.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
We have Black Hawk. Should I start again?
That was a moment with Kevin.
Yeah. That happened.
Was that you? I didn't hear. You know what? I don't think I heard it properly.
It was me, Bean. It was me. Don't worry, but it was me.
You don't need to play it.
It was me.
If you could roll it one more time, just so I could double check. If you would.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
We have Black Hawk. Should I start again?
That was a moment with Kevin.
I think Kevin is doing exactly as well as anyone might have expected someone like him to perform in a position like that.
Thank you.
Having heard it again, yeah, it was definitely good. All right, Allie is here with our final look at what's happening on a Friday.
So is Kat, by the way, and it's not Friday, it's Friday.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Yay.
Get out.
Jensen, it's fired after the first day. Right, it's so weird. We fired and rehired him too.
17 times already.
Listen, I've been very steadfast in my support of Frye.
I appreciate that you're on the right side of history, my friend.
Mm-hmm. So
we can't move on, I don't think.
We're
at an impasse.
Listen, if you guys want to be the Strom Thurmonds and just stick with the wrong side until you die.
It's a great reference.
And I'll allow you.
For those of us that got it was a great reference, Kevin.
Oh, I feel like that was calling you out.
No, but I knew who it was clearly because I said great reference.
Because it wasn't a great reference. And then he made it right. What's happening?
I'm not sure.
Guys.
Let's start again.
Steve Carell said that Office revival that everyone's super stoked about happening isn't going to happen. But not for the reason you may think. Steve Carell says that Michael Scott's sense of humor just wouldn't fly today.
Oh, that's very true.
He said it might be impossible to do the show today and have people accept it in the way it was accepted 10 years ago. The climate's different. And he said basically Michael Scott's entire character is predicated on inappropriate behavior. I don't know. I still think it would hold up absolutely.
It was innocent, inappropriate behavior, it seemed like. But I still agree with him that it probably wouldn't work today.
I don't think he was sketchy. I think he was just a goofball.
An idiot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, I think
he was harmless.
Yeah, there wasn't malicious intent behind Michael Scott, I don't think. But
I still sort of agree with him.
I think he would be like where all of our angst would funnel and we'd appreciate it.
Yeah.
Well, that could be.
So, I'm with you.
Shut up, Steve Carell, is what we're saying.
No, we're saying do The Office again.
But don't say that part again.
Okay. All right. That's what she said.
Right.
Thank you, Steve.
You guys interested in seeing Amy Winehouse out on tour?
I got bad news for you, Allie.
Should I sit down? What?
I don't think she's available.
All right, then we'll get Prince.
Jensen, take a seat, too.
Wow.
So, Amy Winehouse's dad, Mitch Winehouse, has confirmed that an Amy Winehouse hologram tour is in the works. The show is set to debut in 2019, featuring a live band accompanying vocals from Amy Winehouse's original recording. And all proceeds from the concert will benefit the Amy Winehouse Foundation.
Now, I will say, Kat, I'm sure you saw this in the Times over the weekend, that the advancement in concert holograms have really gone through the roof in the last few years. Roy Orbison just played in L.A. this past weekend.
Really? I need you to sit down, Bean.
And by all accounts, it was flawless.
Really?
They spent like 3 years working on it. They have him singing with a live band, and he talks to the audience, and he turns, he looks at the band. I mean, it just is like Roy Orbison is on stage.
Well, I haven't seen any of that.
Hologram boyfriend start happening, Allie.
Why would you say me?
We both need that.
I don't need it, Kat. I totally want it. I need it so bad.
So this is not like what you saw years ago at Coachella with Tupac. That was more of a projected onto a screen.
Yeah.
This is actually a Princess Leia at a Star Wars.
Interactive
hologram. Yeah, so I wouldn't be surprised to see this Amy Winehouse thing happen and be successful.
Wow.
That's
crazy. We're
going to
be killed by holograms someday.
It is weird, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The robots are definitely coming for us, let alone holograms, for sure. By the way, a new documentary, Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, arrives next month. It features previously unseen footage of Amy, as well as new interviews, like her collaborators, Mark Ronson. That's just one collaborator. Wow. Weird that there's an S at the end of that, but that's okay. I mean, I should read these beforehand, but
sure,
why?
Just add Dap Kings.
There you go. Remember that Dakota Johnson news a few days ago where TMZ said, oh, she's pregnant with Chris Martin's baby?
Yep.
And it turned out it was just a birthday party, but they...
What they do.
Thank you. But they had pink balloons and blue balloons. Well, she explained on Ellen that she didn't know that the balloons were going to be released. They were just in an arch, and one accidentally snapped.
Oh.
So, oops. It just kind of went up in the air. But she did say this quote, "The only thing I'm pregnant with is a lot of really good ideas, but not any babies."
Wait, that's terrible.
That's an actual quote.
I think you need to say it in her really low, soft voice that she has.
The only thing I'm pregnant with is a lot of really good ideas, but not any babies.
At Oscar.
Right?
Oscar.
Thank you.
She has her dad's brains.
Oh, wow. Hey, Kat, what's going on in LA?
I'm just going to walk
over
out.
Over the coming weekends or weekends.
What we do, Kat, is we start talking quickly so people will miss it.
Yeah.
Okay. So please help.
There are two festivals going on this weekend. Now, one is out in Merino Beach in Lake Paris if you're up for a road trip. And it starts today. It goes through Sunday. 3 days. This is Tame Impala, War Paint, My Bloody Valentine.
Stop it!
Yeah, so it's like old, you know, it's got like the old school, like Jarvis Cocker, who I saw the other night, you know, from Pulp, is performing tonight. It's 3 day festival called Desert Days.
Where is it?
It's Lake Paris at Merino Beach. Yeah, so it's like an hour and a half from here with traffic like 5 days. So I don't know.
Leave now if you want to see Sundays.
Closer to where we are in downtown LA, Festival of Disruption. It's at the theater at the Ace Hotel, and this is curated by our favorite David Lynch.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Wow.
RZA, tall drink of water, RZA, right? he's doing the score to this, whole event. There's going to be talks and screenings with David Lynch.
No.
With Francis Ford Coppola.
What?
Yes. There's going to be a sound bath area where Jonesy from Sigur Rós is going to be doing this. Virtual reality with Twin Peaks. It's all kind of messed up.
This is something to really take some mushrooms and go.
Yes, is what I'm saying. So yeah, there you go.
Just like it. On a pizza, not wacky one.
So that's good stuff.
When is that?
This weekend.
Where?
Did you take the mushrooms?
No,
over?
Where and who's playing?
Is David Lynch involved at all?
God, I hate you guys.
How dare you? Bong, bong.
I love all of you. Thank you so much, Kat. Some birthdays for you. Hugh Jackman. By the way, you guys. Never mind. There's a sing-along for The Greatest Showman in Oxnard on Saturday, and I might go, oh my God.
I'm sorry I encouraged you to keep going.
Should have edited.
That's my bad.
Damn.
Hugh Jackman, Josh Hutcherson, and Kirk Cameron. Oh my God, so fun, right?
That's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with Strikers. Commercial free-for-all during your drive home today on the world-famous K-Rock. Have a great weekend, and we will see you on Monday morning.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You see that? You see how white people do?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
That's how you get dengue fever.
Really bad. Really very, very bad. Very, very, oh God, really deeply. Oh, I want to go back in time to before I did that.
Who was that? Kevin? 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 Look at me. You're fired. Okay? You're fired. Get out. I've never liked you. You're a whiny little bitch.
I need to sit my black ass down and do some more cardio. What you talking about right now?
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working there anymore.
Going, going, gone.
Bong, bong.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
We have tickets. No, we have Black Hawk. Should I start again?
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.